Copcast, episode 143, Sunday, October 4th, 2009.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
110
pursuit. 110's
in pursuit, 2357, 1020, 110.
Welcome to Copcast, a weekly podcast where we discuss cop and tech issues. I'm Rich Shoemaker, and I'm coming to you from the Digital Command Center, sequestered away in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. And I want to thank you for taking your time to download and listen to this week's show. Hey, before we get started, I wanted to remind our legion of listeners that I'm still looking for a part-time co-host, or co-hosts. If you have a decent microphone, all you need to do is install the AOL Instant Messenger, and I'll give you an opportunity to join me as a co-host for a week. If you want to give it a try, just drop me a line at talkback@copcast.net. Well, we have another great show for you on tap this week. My Copcast correspondents really put the pedal to the metal this week and came up with some really great material. But let's take a minute to take a look in that mailbag before we head off into the roll call room for briefing. Well, we got a couple emails in here. The first one comes from John, and I'm gonna give his last name a try. I'm going to say it's Kucinski, and I hope I didn't butcher it too badly. But he wrote to give us his take on the Honorable Mayor from last week's keynote story. He said, "Good grief. That is sad when a mayor is screwed up in the head. Mayor Peak is probably trying to take more about adding to her paycheck than taking care of the officers. Hell, next thing we know, she's going to ban officers from doing anything. Sorry if I'm wrong in my words, but hearing that woman talk made me understand why there are so many angry cops in the world. Also, does she know she's on camera? I mean, she keeps bringing up how he's going to write it. Whoopsie. I don't know, John. I don't know what to say about it. I think the video says all that needs to be said about the good mayor. But thank you for taking your time to write in. Michael also wrote to say that the audio tones on last week's show were clearer and warmer than ever. That's a quote. He wanted to know my secret. Well, Michael, to be honest with you, I think I'm just a clear and warm guy. Remember, we like to hear from all of our listeners. So if you have a comment, a suggestion, or a good cop story, send it to me at talkback@copcast.net. Well, again this week, I was able to get together with our very own two girls from Utah to get their top picks from last week's show. Now, some of the stories last week made you kind of think it was Pick on Cops Week. Well, as usual, the girls weren't shy about expressing their opinions. So sit back and give them a listen. Well, again, this week, we're happy to have our two girls from Utah back with us to give us their pick of the week from last week's show, 142. I thought it was a pretty good show. What'd you think, girls?
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
That was pretty good.
Shell, you're going to have to talk up, dear, because you're a little bit on the light side down there.
Okay, I'll try.
Okay. That's that Windows Vista that I think we're having some problems with, and we had some issues with it last week, but everything's cool this week. In fact, I hear it's real cool in Utah, isn't it?
Yeah.
How cool is it, girls?
Well, let's see, 20 inches worth of snow up at the ski resorts already.
So y'all have snow in October, huh?
Well, we have snow in July.
Curtains that keep the light out.
Well, let me ask you this, Shell, since you're in the house all the time, you got plenty of time to work on your hair. Have you ever done cornrows?
No, gross.
Come on.
Well, as soon as you say you were kind of interested in a story that we had last week on cornrows, it came out of Philadelphia. Tell me what you think about that deal.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you there. A cop does have to do something pretty serious to get booted off street patrol, you know, like shooting a suspect or being accused of brutality. But cornrows?
Bad hair day?
Cornrows, of all things. You know?
It's pickled
cops. And his buddies even said they didn't even look bad. They were up above his collar. They were neat. And then nobody complained except his boss thought that they were discriminatory. Pulled him right out of roll call and took him right into the office. And then they told him they had to cut it off. God, it goes from having hair to having none. What the heck?
Well, you know, what I thought was interesting about the story, and of course we only get part of it, you know, in the articles and things, but it said that black officers wore their hair that way. And,
right.
As far as the cornrows, I don't think that's appropriate for on the job, you know, in uniform anyhow. But, that's just my personal opinion. I consider that to be like a fad haircut. And most places have rule, some kind of rule against that. But here it sounded like the black officers were wearing cornrows.
It was okay for some, but
not
for others.
And they weren't for this guy here. And he sounded like a pretty good guy, though, because he didn't even make a comment whenever, you know, after all the hullabaloo and everything. He knew when to keep his mouth shut, you know. Okay, let's take a vote here now, okay? Who votes that this was a discriminatory act on the part of the commander?
I do.
I think it was a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
What would you have done?
A complete and utter waste of leave the man alone.
Leave him alone?
Yeah, leave him alone.
Yeah.
I can see if every single person in the place wasn't allowed to do it, fine. But, you know, it's just stupid. It's not like he had a swastika, you know, stuck to his forehead or something.
Well, even the guys he worked with said they don't look bad.
Yeah. You know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
They were neat. It's just
a nitpick,
you know?
Just
well,
yeah. We
well,
might.
Let's not beat this one to death.
You know,
we want to get to the Shell story here, the one where the cops went wee 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 all the way home.
That was awesome. That was so awesome. I love that. I read that and I was giggling because I got to see it on TV. I was like, woo!
You know, I don't know what the hell is wrong with people that they get so upset over this kind of shit. It's like, you know, hello, no happy noises at work, I guess.
Hang on. Yeah. Now. Let me tell the listeners what we're talking about here. There was a Polk County drug investigators that raided a home of a guy in Lakeland, Florida.
Okay, first of all, Polk County should have said enough there.
I don't know anything about that down there. But anyway, the guy had a Wii game there, and so over the course of the 9 hours that they were in processing the scene, apparently they took turns playing Wii bowling. And unfortunately, what they didn't notice was that there was a security camera in the home, and the video was rolling on it. And so once his attorney got hold of the video, then, of course, you know, he just used it just to embarrass the officers, I guess, in the department.
Under investigation, they said.
So tell me what you think, Suze. Shell.
Me? Like I said, what, no happy noises at work? You know, who cares? They took a moment to have some shits and giggles. Who gives a rat's ass? You know,
I can't
believe they're going as far as thinking of disciplining the poor guys. I mean, their jobs are filled with shit and stress, and they risk their lives every day. And give me a break.
Well, here's the deal. Here's what I found that I think is difficult for people to understand. Narcotics units spend an inordinate amount of time just going out, you know, because you can't pick, you can't work a shift. When you're doing a narcotics investigation, you go when the dealers go, you know. And so I'm sure there's nobody around counting the amount of extra hours that these guys put in to probably busting this guy right here. But there will be people around saying, well, you know, they shouldn't have been, you know, taking 10, 15 minutes each to play Wii bowling, where they may have taken a few minutes, but they give hours, and that's what they don't see. That's what the people don't see.
Yeah, and another point is, the video game.
What job has anybody in the whole freaking world hasn't taken time to, what, tell a joke to somebody, look at an email that makes them laugh, or something that's not job related. This is just nitpicking and stupid. These guys don't, you guys work hard. I mean, actually, your job involves risking your lives. Exactly. You know, so who cares if you took a second to have a few laughs? I don't give a rat's ass. I think it's a complete waste of time and an utter ridiculous point to discipline them.
All right, ladies. Well, I think we about beat these ones to death. I appreciate you coming to visit again, and we look forward to your visit every week. Y'all have a good week.
Okay.
See you later, Rich.
Bye.
We're not buried.
I love my job. He loves his job. It's the perfect job. Happy work.
Remember, you can catch up with the two girls from Utah on Cops Online at copsonline.com. Just look for Hell's Bunny and Buckethead in the chat room, or better yet, go ahead and join Cops Online and then shoot them an email. Well, I think it's about time that we move into the briefing room to talk about those crazy situations that your brother and sister officers have faced during the past week. Those offbeat stories that our Legion of listeners have come to love, but no, they can't hear anywhere else but right here on Copcast. Item number one. This is out of Melbourne, Florida. A 37-year-old woman was arrested after a tow truck driver told officers that she had offered to sell her child in exchange for gas money. Marcy Papillardo faces a charge of child neglect in connection with the incident. Police are continuing their investigation, and additional charges may be added. The cops received a 911 call at about 3 p.m. from a tow truck driver who said a woman had tried to sell him her 6-year-old boy in exchange for gas money at a gas station. The driver refused the offer and then followed the woman, who was in a white sedan with her child and another woman, as he called authorities. The white sedan was pulled over in Suntree a short time later by police. Papillardo was arrested after she was questioned. Her 6-year-old boy sat on the trunk of the car and cried as his mother was led away. Mallory Acker, a friend who was in the car with Papillardo, told police that the tow truck driver requested sex with the mother in exchange for gas money. When she refused, he made up the story for police. No other arrests were made, and Melbourne police said that they were in the process of contacting the child's father. Good idea. Item 2. A terror suspect accused of plotting the bombing of a skyscraper in Dallas, Texas, drew authorities' scrutiny because of his violent posts on an extremist chat site. The suspect, a 19-year-old Jordanian, was arrested in an FBI sting operation. Federal officials said that Hassam Moher Hussein Samadi entered the United States illegally and lived in Texas, and he tried to set off an explosive attached to a vehicle at the base of the 60-story Fountain Place office tower. Long before authorities arrested Samadi, however, they were reading his posts on the extremist chat site. According to a court affidavit, Samadi was discovered by the FBI within an online group of extremists. Among many others in the group who espoused and endorsed violence, Samadi stood out, based on his vehement intention to actually conduct terror attacks in the United States. So this is a nice guy. When you can stand out among Islamic terrorists, you're a bad dude. Undercover officers then contacted Samadi, posing as members of an Al-Qaeda sleeper cell. After months of conversation, the agents considered Samadi a legitimate threat. Samadi was picked he picked several targets to attack, including the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, before deciding on the skyscraper, which houses the Wells Fargo Bank. It details the affidavit details a conversation with Samadi allegedly had with authorities, and he said, "I've decided to change the target. God willing, the strike will be certain and strong. It will shake the currently weak economy in the state and the American nation, because this bank is one of the largest banks in the city." Yeah, good logic. Samadi said many times that he wanted to commit violent jihad, and he was a soldier of Osama bin Laden. Undercover agents tried to get Samadi to, quote, reevaluate his interpretation of jihad, saying that there were nonviolent ways to commit the act, but Samadi again communicated his continuing commitment to violent jihad. After casing the bank in July, Samadi told an undercover agent he would target it, according to authorities. Initially, Samadi told the agent he wanted to bomb the bank on September 11th, but decided to wait until the Islamic holy month of Ramadan ended on September 20th. After receiving what he thought was an explosive from an undercover agent, Samadi drove a car with the fake bomb into a parking garage under the skyscraper. Samadi thought he could detonate the bomb by dialing his cell phone. When he dialed, the number rang a phone in the authorities' possession. Counterterrorism officials arrested Samadi before publicly disclosing a similar but unrelated terrorism sting operation in Springfield, Illinois. A federal law enforcement official familiar with the cases said authorities feared word of the Illinois arrest could tip off the Texas suspect to the sting operation. Samadi will make his first court appearance before a federal magistrate in Dallas. A charge of attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction carries a potential life sentence in prison and a $250,000 fine. In the unrelated Illinois case, undercover FBI agents foiled a plot to bomb Springfield's federal building. In neither case did authorities find ties to any known terrorist group, which is kind of scary because that means that these folks are out here on their own doing what they think is Muhammad's work. Sucks. Item 3. On a lighter note, burly builders fled when a naked blonde rushed them at a construction site in an Australian capital of Vienna, shouting, "Who wants me?" The hard-hat hunks ran for cover when the woman turned the tables on them on the building site beside the city's main railway station. One builder said, "You know, we like to chat up the girls as they walk past. It's tradition." But this woman was too much to handle, and we just ran and hid until the cops got there. No one liked to think what would happen if she would have caught one of us. A police spokesman said, "It turned out no one wanted her." The woman was detained and put under doctor's care. I bet. Item 4. An Ohio man allegedly robbed a woman outside her home and then returned a couple hours later to ask her for a date. Stephen Bennett, 20, was one of three men who robbed Daniel Martinez Batista and Diana Martinez at gunpoint in Columbus, Ohio. The late-night robbery happened in a car park outside Miss Martinez's apartment. The three robbers fled with Mr. Batista's wallet and Miss Martinez's purse after they were threatened by a neighbor. But less than 2 hours later, one of the three robbers returned to the apartment to ask Miss Martinez out. A police sergeant said, quote, "We're not exactly sure what he was thinking at the time. She recognized him right away when he returned and was able to have her cousin call 911. Police arrived within minutes and arrested Bennett. They're still looking for the other two guys in connection with the robbery. Ah, sweet love. Item 5. One Eastern Wisconsin sheriff's deputy has resigned, and another one's been demoted after a video on Facebook showed them and others burning a dummy in a department's uniform. Folks, when are we going to learn? Quit putting this shit on YouTube and Facebook and all that. But anyway, the video taken last month shows deputies burning a uniformed effigy propped against a small cross. A woman at one point says the burning cross has a, quote, KKK aspect to it. The sheriff, Jerry Pascal, said that Deputy Jennifer Bass resigned and Wendy Schmidt had been demoted to dispatcher. Bass had been a jailer and Schmidt had been an investigative sergeant. The sheriff says both women called the burning a, quote, stress reliever. Notes bearing names of the sheriff and other officers were affixed to the dummy. No, the two dummies were the ones that did the burning, not the thing that burned. Item 6. Nearly one of five U.S. drivers surveyed has read or sent a text message while behind a wheel, even though nearly all the respondents in a AAA survey considered such actions unacceptable. In a statement accompanying the survey commissioned by the AAA Foundation, AAA Chief Executive Robert Darblenet said, "The new technologies that help us multitask in our everyday lives and increasingly popular media sites present a hard-to-resist challenge to the typical safe driver. Enacting texting bans for drivers in all 50 states can halt the spread of this dangerous practice among motorists nationwide, and it's a key legislative priority for AAA in state capitals." The group, which also provides emergency road service to its members and lobbies for automobile issues, formerly was known as the American Automobile Association. The random telephone survey questioned 2,500 U.S. residents, 16 and older, in May and April. Although nearly all the respondents considered the practice unacceptable, 18% said that they had sent a text message while driving within a month of being surveyed. Most data available on texting and driving are anecdotal, but the U.S. Transportation Department is seeking more information as pressure grows to ban the practice. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHold will hold a two-day conference on distracted drivers next week in Washington. In a separate survey commissioned by the Ford Motor Company, 93% of the 1,000 licensed drivers responding to the survey supported a nationwide ban on texting behind a wheel. AAA says surveys of its members also favor a ban. About a dozen states have imposed prohibitions, and proposals for a national ban have been introduced in Congress. The wireless industry, including cell phone manufacturers, carriers, and some internet companies, represented by CTIA Wireless Association, support state and local efforts to ban texting while driving. Of course, that's a no-brainer. So, have you done it? I'm going to take the fifth on this one. Item seven. Does anyone really win a pissing contest? Well, I think a cop and a nurse are about to find out. An Advocate Illinois Masonic Medical Center nurse has filed a civil lawsuit against a Chicago police officer and the city of Chicago, claiming the officer arrested her for wanting to consult with a supervisor before collecting a blood sample from a suspected drunk driver. Lisa Hofstra was the nurse in charge of the emergency room at Illinois Masonic at about 4 a.m. on August 1st when she said an officer named Rodriguez asked her to take a blood sample from a man to determine his blood alcohol level, according to the lawsuit that's been filed in federal court. Hofstra allegedly told the officer that the man had to become a patient first and she wanted to consult with her supervisor. The officer cuffed her and placed her in the back of a squad car, according to the lawsuit. Of course, I'm almost certain there was probably a bit of heated discourse before that happened, but who knows? The lawsuit claims that Rodriguez, his full name was not in the complaint, used excessive force by placing the handcuffs on Hofstra too tight and arrested her without probable cause. She's seeking unspecified damages. Come on, folks. Emergency services people have to work together. I think there's probably a way that this could have been avoided if cooler heads would have prevailed. Item 8. Cameron Allner was at work, his first day on the job in a big box retailer, when he heard someone yelling, "Stop that man!" At first, Allner, who uses a wheelchair, was going to back off out of the guy's path, suspecting an in-store theft. But then the man shouted, "Stop that man!" He grabbed a girl. So Allner lined his wheelchair into the fleeing man's path, grabbed the suspect's shirt, and tackled him into a soda machine. Allner, who works for Comcast, and the man who shouted, Chris Bevan, held the suspect until police arrived. Kevin Sawyers, 34, was arrested and was being held on suspicion of sexual assault of a child. He's accused of groping a 10-year-old girl in an incident at the Westminster Walmart. Blevins was in the toy department shopping with two of his children when he heard a girl screaming for help. Blevins went toward the girl and heard her describing a man who had touched her inappropriately. He spotted a man matching the description running away from the toy section, heading toward the front of the store, and started chasing him. Blevins was shouting for help as he ran, and when Allner got involved and then made the tackle, of course, Sawyer's being held in the Jefferson County Jail on $250,000 bond. Don't you love it when a plan comes together and you get some pervert off the street? Item number 9. A 1,400-pound bull that escaped from a northern New Jersey slaughterhouse dragged officers with a lasso down the street and ran 10 blocks before being captured and sedated. Chief John DeCanto said the bull was being loaded at ENA Meatpacking Incorporated when it broke loose. Police tried to corral the bull by lassoing a rope around the animal's neck, but it dragged officers down the street instead. Boys, this is not
the Wild West. That's probably not the best way to get a bull under control. DeCanto says the traffic was light during the big bull run. He says the area where the officers were dragged was not residential or not near a school. I hope it was grass. Anyway, officers finally corralled the animal, and DeCanto was able to sedate it. No injuries reported. The bull was returned to the slaughterhouse. All's well that ends well. Item 10. A Massachusetts man has been sentenced to 18 months in prison for stealing a hot dog from a man as he sat under a tree in a city park. Antonio Judd pleaded guilty to charges including larceny from a person. Police said Judd stole a hot dog from a man in Elm Park in Worcester after flashing what appeared to be a gun. Judd grabbed the hot dog from the victim and began to devour it, spilling mustard all over his shirt. When Judd was later arrested, he was carrying a pellet gun and a pocket knife. Judd has been sentenced to prison at least 3 times for offenses, including assault and vandalism. Now he's going away on the hot dog wrap. You got to love it. Well, that's going to about do it, I guess, for this week's stories. I do want to thank Early Midnight, Sarah Roberts, Clifton Smith, Drizilla Gothley, and Sergeant PC, our Copcast correspondents this week, for contributing stories for this week's show. This week we have another installment of the Tales from George's Pocketbook, our audio segment from our brother officers over in Great Britain. Although we have a little twist on it this week, because George is off on another break, so here's another story from the Copcast Legion of Listeners. This time we hear from longtime contributor Sergeant TC. He tells a simple tale about the sort of colleague that we've all known who helped to make those long shifts pass a little easier. So sit back and give him a listen.
Welcome to this special edition of George's Pocketbook, where our colleagues around the world take time to share their experiences of what being a law enforcement officer means to them where they work. The incidents portrayed are real. But where necessary, names and places have been changed in order to protect the innocent, the not-so-innocent, and the plain stupid. Sergeant TC has a war story to tell that others may enjoy. I have my doubts, however, about the individual at the centre of this story, and suspect that the good sergeant may be being a little modest about how deeply he was involved. Oh, and Sarge? I know I should apologise for the theme song I gave you, but I'm afraid I just couldn't resist. So, where Sergeant TC used to work as a dispatcher, they had a city councilman who was reputed to be, among other things, a bit of a drunk. And he somehow always seemed to get on the police radio to report things as he was going home. He would report the most mundane things, like a traffic light that wasn't working. All the councilmen in the city had police radios in their cars, and this particular councilman was given the call sign of car Ocean 11, or Ocean 11, to use on the air. It became a real pain for the dispatchers, but like many other things, they just put up with him. As time went by, however, an anonymous cop on the radio began to pretend that he was the councilman, and get on the radio sounding like a drunk for fun. This was before the times when your radio ID could be identified. The anonymous cop, sounding drunk, would say things like, "Ocean 11," wait a few seconds, and then say, "Oh, never mind," sounding rather intoxicated. The other officers would all get a bit of a laugh out of it. One night, our anonymous cop got on the air and said, "Ocean 11. And dispatch answered. A few seconds went by and he said, "Ocean 11, if you get a call on a man down at 13th and Broadway," then there was silence for a few seconds. The dispatcher called over and over, "Ocean 11, Ocean 11, with no response. Then the prankster cop came back on the air and said, "Ocean 11, never mind, I got up." One cold night, with almost no traffic on the radio, the same cop came on the air and just said, "I'm going crazy." The dispatcher answered back, "Car calling, car calling." There was silence for several minutes, and then a repeat of the radio. "I'm going crazy." And the dispatcher answered again, "Car calling, car calling," with once again no answer. After about the fourth time, he yet again said, "I'm going crazy." And the dispatcher, sounding really mad by now, asked again in a really mean tone, "Car calling, identify yourself." A few seconds went by and the cop came back on the air and said, "I'm not that crazy."
I want to thank Sergeant TC and Michael for putting together this great story. Remember, Michael's extended an open invitation to anyone who would like to write a story like Sergeant TC did about one of their real life experiences. You write it, he'll record it, and I'll play it. Pretty cool. Next up, the training opportunities. Well, this week I didn't receive any training announcements, but remember, we welcome training or event announcements from any criminal justice agency or training organization. Just send the information to talkback@copcast.net, and I'll be happy to announce your upcoming training course or event. We're also pleased to be able to help criminal justice agencies find and hire the best qualified people, but hiring's a little slow right now, so if you remember last week, I made a request, and I didn't get any answers from it. What I'd like to do is spotlight one agency per week. So if you have a minute, jot down a little information about your agency and shoot it to me at talkback@copcast.net. Please include information like the size of your agency, special units, equipment, accomplishments, the size of your jurisdiction. You know, you get the picture. Assume that our listeners know absolutely nothing about your jurisdiction. I don't care if you're coming from LAPD or whatever. Just educate us. And I want to start this on the next show, so get it to me as soon as you can. And I will include the agency spotlights in the order that I receive them. Pretty cool. Well, that looks like about it for this week's show. But I want to thank you for taking your time to listen to Copcast, and be sure to let your friends and fellow officers know about the show. Also, remember, my Twitter name is Copcast, and you can follow me at twitter.com. You can also catch up with the two girls from Utah and Michael on Cops Online at copsonline.com. Remember, Shell is Hell's Bunny, Suze is Buckethead, and Michael is Michael. Check them out in the chat room or join up and send them an email. Please keep your comments coming, and remember, I can always use some more Copcast correspondence. You can send me an email at talkback@copcast.net. Or better yet, if you have a computer and a microphone, send me an audio comment. I'll make you a star in the next show. But most importantly, stay safe. And remember to always wear that vest. So from the whole crew at Copcast, have a great week.